Do you know what it's like to be stuck in darkness? He spoke now, deliberately, in a deliberately lowered voice. Do you know what it's like to be down in the darkness on the bottom? After the wave of panic, a sort of resignation sets in, a kind of warmth, not peace exactly. It's almost like a longing just to exhale one last time and let the darkness in. Just when I was about to do that, I saw something out of the corner of my eye, and I don't know if my eyes had adjusted to the darkness or what it was, but I turned and I saw a hand outstretched, reaching for me. And without thinking, I reached for it, and it grabbed my wrist and pulled me not up, but further down. And I saw it was a man who pulled me close to his body and held me against him as though we were slow dancing at the bottom of the sea. He pulled me close and touched his ear, my ear, with his lips and whispered to me, "My name is Brother Escobar, and I need your help. I boarded this ship so long ago, desperate to run away. I was with Father Junipero Sierra, and I helped him when we built these first missions, and I believed that we were bringing salvation to these heathens. But soon it became clear that we were bringing pain to these first peoples. And it wasn't just the kind of pain that one man could inflict on another man. It's the kind of pain that a behemoth brings. It's the kind of pain that a whole structure brings, a kingdom. And everything that people can think and believe and know for certain is the truth, that's the kind of pain it can bring upon these people. And it's something so big it can blot out the sun. A pain so big it can make men forget they have souls. This is what we were doing here. The church, Spain, Father Sarah. We had no reason to be here, no good reason to be here. There was no good to be done by us here. And when I found this truth, when I recognized this truth and it surrounded me, I could see that this was a darkness that would affect not just these people and not just this place, but it would set a darkness in motion that would roll forward across this land and across the sea and beyond Spain through time. But in this vision, I saw a light like the sun breaking through the surface of the water, filtering down to me, down to the mire. And as it was as if I heard the word of God, said Brother Escobar. As I heard the word of God telling me, "Brother Escobar, stand up now. Get up now. Go tell Father Sarah and preach to him repentance so that he can return to God's mercy and roll back this darkness. Brother Escobar, preach to all the brothers. Preach to all the soldiers. Call them to repent, and God's mercy will roll back all the darkness they have set loose, will repair their souls, will repair your soul." And the vision vanished. And once again, I was alone with my thoughts, and I was ashamed because I knew that I would not do it. I would not follow the voice of God and do what God told me. I didn't have the faith. I didn't have the strength. But I could not stay here and watch the darkness unfold. So I found some traders that could take me to a supply ship that was going back to Spain. And we set out, and once we were out for 3 days, a great storm came. We lost our way, and we ended up here. All the sailors were convinced that God had brought this storm pursuing one of us. I told them my story. I told them it was me that God was pursuing, and they urged me to throw myself overboard and beg for God's mercy to save them all. But I couldn't bring myself to do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it. I was weak, was afraid. Just then lightning struck and the ship broke in two, and the crew dove into the water and swam clear, but not me. I sat in my cabin as the ship sank. Water came in, filled the cabin. As the ship sank, the darkness around me seemed easier and easier to embrace, to exhale one last time and invite that darkness in, and it would all be over. So I did. I inhaled, and the water filled my lungs. I felt the water go in and out of my nostrils and my mouth, but the darkness did not overcome me. As a matter of fact, I noticed that as I breathed in that dark, murky water, and when I breathed out that water, it was clear, it was bright, it sparkled almost. In amazement, I took a big, deep breath of the dark water and exhaled it forcefully, and it was bright, it was light, it was clear. It was then that I realized that the voice of God had not just given me a command to speak these words of repentance to Father Sarah, to the empire. The voice of God had made me repentance. I could speak mercy into the world. I could inhale darkness and exhale light. I was filled with the kind of strength that I'd never known, a kind of energy that felt like freedom or the sun. And so I pushed open that cabin door and found my way to the stairs of that ship, sitting on the bottom of the sea, broken. And I got to the surface, and with my legs feeling strong, I pushed upward towards the light. I saw the light breaking through the surface, breathing out my own light, and watching it rise like illuminated bubbles to the surface. And that's when I was jerked to a halt. My foot or robe caught in some broken timber. And the more I struggled, the more I seemed to be unable to free myself. The more I struggled, the harder it was to get. I knew if only the crew was here, I could find some freedom, if I had some help. And I'm sure they could probably free me. But they were gone. And the day was gone, and months passed, and years passed, and I breathed in the darkness and exhaled the light, but only small amounts reached the surface, and the sea began to dry up and become the desert. And the boat and the ship and the wreck and myself were covered by the sand, buried deep in the sand. And then the desert was flooded and the sea returned. And then the sea dried up again and the desert returned. And this happened again and again. And every time the sea returned, I once again floated and breathed in the darkness and exhaled the light and looked for someone to come and free me. To free me so we can bring to the surface this light and roll back the darkness. Now the fisherman took my arm in both his hands and pulled a little. I struggled to help Brother Escobar free his leg. I did what I could, because as he whispered in my ear and held me close to the bottom, close to himself, close to his breath, I could see the light that he breathed out. I could see him breathe out that mercy water. As he exhaled, swirls of that mercy water surrounded my head, and I breathed it in deep, and I felt that light, and it felt like life. And I looked up, and I saw the light breaking through the surface, and when I looked into his eyes, he said, "Go." And he exhaled that light of mercy water surrounding me, and I followed it up. I followed it up, and it propelled me towards the surface. And I lived. I'm here. I heard a cheer go up from the patio outside. The congregation burst into applause. Music started up, and Charlie and Maggie burst into the bar from the patio, followed by their wedding party. I looked up. "Congratulations," I called. "Come on," they yelled. "Follow us to the party." But I didn't get up. I didn't move. I leaned closer to the old fisherman. I looked intently into his eyes as the wedding guests streamed by. After the bar had emptied, I asked him, "Why did you tell me this?" The old fisherman smiled back. He looked me over. "Because I need your help." "I'm not strong," I said. "It's not about that." "I'm afraid most of the time," I said. "A lot of people are. I can't even swim that well." "You only need to know how to sink. And remember, when you're down in the darkness, breathe."